Hey, Mike, what are we talking about today?
Are we recording right now?
Yeah, I hit start just a minute ago. Didn't you start the cameras?
Oh, is this the podcast?
Dude, we've already started the podcast. What?
I'm so sorry, man. I'm so tired right now.
Seriously, what'd you do?
I stayed up all night last night trying to figure out who was going to win this presidency.
Did you watch that?
I think I did. It kind of feels like a dream, maybe a nightmare.
You know, I took a poll last week to see who people thought was going to win the presidency.
How'd that turn out for you?
Well, I only asked one person and he didn't give me an answer. Oh, wait, that was you on last week's podcast. You didn't give me an answer.
I'm sorry.
Do you have an answer now?
No, I don't actually. I took a poll last week to see if the polls were pollable.
And what'd you discover? I have no idea what you just said.
That sounds familiar in politics nowadays. I don't know. The statistics show that 100% likelihood that you had no clue what I was saying.
Oh, my word. I don't know how this show's going to go.
Hey, I don't know how 2020 is going to end.
I don't know either. What I do know is that when we actually start talking about it, it's not going to be your normal Bible talk.
That's because this is the Thinking Cup podcast.
Two men.
Dude.
Come on, dude.
Two cups of coffee.
I've never had anything like this.
One table.
This is not your normal Bible talk.
This is a podcast.
Bringing the tough topics to sip on.
Guacamole or guacamole?
Whatever.
Mike Colburn.
I have a tendency to remain quiet.
Ben Orion.
You haven't told me a dumb dad joke yet today, and I certainly haven't told you one.
This is not your normal Bible talk.
Oh boy.
It's the Thinking Cup Podcast.
Oh boy.
Welcome to the Thinking Cup Podcast.
Hey, welcome back. It is the Thinking Cup Podcast. Mike, how you doing?
I'm not sure yet. I think I'm doing good.
So basically, that introduction was really an introduction to reality because we are somewhat lagging a little bit today.
I'm confused, man. I'm really confused. I'm depressed.
Oh, depressed.
Yeah. Do you know why I'm depressed?
No, tell me why.
Because I didn't get enough coffee. That's why I'm depressed.
Normally, your cup is like, we'll finish the show and you still have coffee left in your cup. Yeah. We're just beginning. Do you have anything
in
there?
Well, you know, actually, I'll take that back. You know, I'm not as depressed as you might think, because if I was depressed, I'd be drinking Depresso. But I don't have very much coffee in this cup. I've got maybe a small sip left. It's really good.
This is really so for the listener. What we do is we get together every Wednesday, come over, we go in the basement, we record. But before we start our show, we go upstairs and you make us a couple of lattes. And today we do our show prep and then go make the latte and then start the show. We didn't do that today.
No,
we needed the coffee just to get through the show prep.
We needed extra caffeine today.
And we did. And here's the problem, Mike, is we made our coffee to do our show prep, but I don't have anything written on my page. What did we do?
You know, well, let me tell the listener what we're drinking right here. By the way, we've labeled these so that we don't get it confused, you know, so that we know we actually are drinking coffee. I guess. Although I would be a little confused if something else was in here, you know? It was telling me I was drinking coffee. So we're actually drinking a Guzman, Ethiopian Guzman coffee. And I was looking on the site, Onyx site, and I can't find it on here. They're not roasting it anymore.
Really?
Yeah. I kind of feel like it's like an intro to, I don't know, the current situation in politics. They're just not roasting it anymore.
So last week, you actually gave this to me as an option to drink, and we drank something different. And I really enjoyed last week's. But what caught my attention as I was looking at the bag and smelling the aroma is that this was roasted with a hint of grape. And I mean, I'm telling you.
I mean, you know it's heavenly when it's got grapes in it.
Well, I'm not going to say it's fruity, but it does. It certainly has that. You can see it coming through. You can taste it coming through. I'm going to just say that this is probably an 8.
Well, if you look at how much is in my cup, it's good.
It's either good or you're tired.
I'm probably that one. I'm saving the last tiny little drop. So you know coffee is really good when it's good hot. Yes. But then when it goes cold, it's like a new type of coffee. It's just good. It's still good.
And I'm not even a fan of cold coffee, but this is really good.
It's not bad. What are we talking about today,
man? Oh, let's have a conversation. Let's talk about reflecting about last night. Here we go. So you were up last night. I was up last night. We were looking at the TV. You said something similar to what I was doing. I was kind of going between CNN and Fox News, and you know, even as you and I are recording right now, it's Wednesday afternoon. We're recording. Hopefully, this will drop tomorrow morning. As we're recording, we don't know who's going to be the president.
Nope.
20 minutes ago, CNN or was it CNN or Fox announced that they were declaring a winner in Wisconsin.
That was CNN.
But it doesn't determine the outcome of the election. And the Trump campaign has already said they're going to challenge that.
Yeah.
So we just kind of wanted to talk a little bit about reflecting on what we saw, things going on last night. As we're recording, we're waiting on 6 states: Wisconsin, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, and Alaska. So what are some of the thoughts that you had about this? And by the way, just so the audience knows, we are actually going to tie this into the Bible in the second half of the show.
Yes, we are, because this is not your normal Bible talk,
right? It's not.
Is this Bible talk?
We're going to just try to stay awake because we go through this.
Oh, goodness. You know, my thoughts, I've got so many thoughts, but I'm gonna give you, you know, 100% of all statistics are made up on the spot.
I got something there for you.
And here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to guarantee. I told you I had a prediction, right? And yeah. I'm 100% certain that someone's going to be our president. I'm not certain we're going to know for quite some time.
Yeah, I don't see this unless Pennsylvania and Georgia and North Carolina are unequivocal. I don't see us knowing before Thanksgiving.
I think both parties and both leaning media outlets are a little surprised at how close this whole thing actually is turning out to be.
So that brings up an interesting thing, because in 2016, it was really fun to watch the polls returning, and you know, they would take these exit polls and people talk about how, because I did the same thing in 2016 that I did this year. I watched CNN, I watched Fox, and both networks were literally tripping over themselves because they're like, how is this possible? Hillary was supposed to win this thing in a landslide, and the polls did not reflect what was actually happening. And what we saw this time around was even worse.
Yeah.
Did you see that Washington Post poll? Maybe Washington Post didn't actually do the poll, but they reported it that a week ago, just a few days before the election in Wisconsin, they said that Biden was winning by 17 points. I mean,
it doesn't seem to be the case anymore.
Well, and they just called it for Biden, but it was by, what, 0.4% or something like that?
It is super close. And I wanted to talk about the, you know, again, thoughts on, when I was watching this, I had Fox and I had CNN. Mm-hmm. And what kind of confused me, if I'm being very, very transparent, again, just reflecting on kind of my experience last night, is in a year like 2020, where we have the technology, we have the advancements, we have the ability to broadcast immediate data, okay? I was so fascinated with the discrepancy in the difference of numbers that were showing on each site. I mean, side by side.
Yeah.
Millions of votes different in the popular vote.
Mm-hmm. From one network to the next.
Just crazy. And of course, they were both saying they were updating like every 10 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't get it.
What was amazing to me is that you could clearly hear the bias coming through as mm-hmm. you watched. At the beginning of the night, I turned on CNN. I started there, and I would listen to these guys stand at the TV, and they would say, okay, now compare this county with that county in 2016, and they'd go back and forth on this. And they say now it's early. Biden's way behind. He's got some ground to make up, but it's early, so he's going to have a chance to do that. And so there was a clear. But what was fascinating is that CNN was not calling states early this year. 4 years ago, they would call them kind of early.
Maybe they learned their lesson.
They might have. I was amazed that Fox seemed to be on the leading edge of calling states. And Arizona is up for debate right now. Fox is standing by their call of that, but CNN's not willing to call it yet. I think Arizona probably is going to go Biden. What's really fascinating to look at is Nevada.
Nevada could be the state, and again, I don't know that we're going to know this in the near future, because I have a feeling. In fact, I read just before we got on here that both attorneys from both campaigns have put forth that no matter what the results are, it's so close now.
Yeah,
we're going to fight it no matter what, which is interesting because Biden mm-hmm. before this. Said that, whatever, this is a democratic process, and whatever happens, we're going to be okay. We're going to have a succession of power, or we're going to be fine. Everything's okay. And of course, Trump, we know Trump, right?
Right.
He's like, I'm going to fight it no matter what, right? I mean.
he doesn't hold anything back.
So he was pretty clear that he was going to do that. But I did find it interesting that now both of them are like, wait a second, this is super close. There are some states that are a tenth of a percent, literally. Yeah. I mean, Nevada right now is 8,000 votes mm-hmm. in between. 8,000.
Well, and it's interesting that you say that because I just pulled it up. When you and I started, it was over 8,000. Now it's under 8,000.
I see.
It's not that huge of a difference between. It's maybe 600 different votes from when you and I first looked at it when we started, but only 75% are reporting. So nobody's willing to call that because both sides are conceding that, hey, there's a pathway to victory
this
here.
This is another fascinating point here. You've got on Fox News right now 75%, mm-hmm. 75%. CNN's exact same says 86% in. Yeah. Who's correct?
Yeah. How do we know?
That's I want to go back to, again, just reflecting on this. Tucker from Fox News was talking about this exact issue, and this is the focus that I felt from last night.
Yes,
is can the media be trusted? Mm. It's an honest question, right? Mm-hmm. Some might think one side, some might think not. Here's the challenge: is that clearly, and this is what Tucker talked about. He talked about the fact that. And he included himself. Mm-hmm. We, the media, have not been honest with the news we've been broadcasting. We haven't been transparent.
Yeah.
We haven't really told the stories. We've been telling the narratives, right? Mm-hmm. But we've not been reporting on the facts. And the irony is that who are we looking to tell us who's president?
Yes. Yes.
The news.
The news. And...
And there's discrepancies.
That's right. That's right. Your bias is going to determine which one of those networks you're going to.
And I think both candidates and both campaigns will probably rely on that exact fear.
Yes.
The fact that, well, the mail-in ballots aren't valid. You got to count this, got to do this, got to make sure everything's good, and we're not going to go without a fight. And I get it. It's a big deal.
It is. It is.
It is more fascinating to me, though, about what's going on with the House and the struggle of power for the Senate.
Yes.
And that really does shift the narrative, because no matter who becomes president, the ability to make things happen is dependent on whether or not your party controls the Senate.
Well, and thankfully, the founding fathers were wise to give a balance of power there.
Absolutely.
And there have been times in our history, in fact, in our recent history, where one party controlled all three facets. As I recall, Obama, for a period of time, had the House and the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time when Bush had the House and the Senate. In fact, for the first 2 years Trump was in, did he not have the House and the Senate?
I do believe the first two.
And
yeah.
So it's interesting that they couldn't get as much done as they wanted to, mm-hmm. because nothing was there to stop them. But if you have to have one or the other, I think most people concur that the Senate is a little more powerful even than the House.
Yeah.
And that looks like it's going to stay with the GOP. The House looks like it's going to move over, stay with the mm-hmm. the Democrats. Although the GOP did pick up a few seats in the House this time around.
Yeah.
But you're right. That creates an interesting balance of power, especially because last week we had the conversation about religious liberty and that impact, which really, as far as I'm concerned as a pastor, that's my biggest concern.
Yeah.
Healthcare and all these other things, look, I get it. I think they're important. But to me, the most important thing is the right to worship freely.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's partially because I have some unique beliefs that the rest of the world doesn't understand.
Yeah.
You know, and if you have all three in, can you imagine a Republican House, a Republican Senate, a Republican president, and now a conservative court?
Mm-hmm.
That would, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. That concerns me. If it was all Democrat or if it's all Republican, sure. That concerns me a little bit.
Sure. Absolutely. So possible outcomes. Here's what I do know.
Yeah.
I do know that the outcome that they were projecting, that there was going to be a landslide, that's out.
That's completely
not out. Not going to happen. There ain't going to be a red or a blue wave, period. There's no waves going on.
No.
Okay? So, possible outcome.
Well, I think that one of the possible outcomes is that maybe people will start to see that the media has been trying to incite us against or for a certain purpose or way of going.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's clearly, they're already talking about some lawsuits with the pollsters. But as far as president is concerned, I don't know, man. It is so tight because we were just talking about how Biden could win Wisconsin and Michigan and somehow still miss the presidency.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think. I
know that eventually we will know.
Will we know before Thanksgiving?
Maybe.
I don't think so. Trump has promised a lawsuit in Wisconsin, and they can't do that until Wisconsin certifies, and they won't certify till December 1, so that I'm pretty sure of.
Warning! Dumb dad jokes ahead.
No! No!
Oh, man. I just wonder, if you break a leg in the audition, doesn't that guarantee you're going to be in the cast?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Depends on if you pulled it right.
Oh.
So here's what I heard. Told my doctor last time?
No, what's that?
I told my doctor that I got to get some help. I'm addicted to Twitter. And he said, I don't follow you.
Oh, man. Did you hear that? I just saw this on the news on my way. I heard it on the news on my way up here. A Vicks VapoRub truck turned over on the highway.
Yeah.
Amazingly, there was no congestion for 8 hours. Dude, I finally got you on one.
I just want to know what that smelled like.
Oh, my
word. Talk about.
Like this.
So there are some people listening right now mm-hmm. that have certain health kind of decisions as far as what they eat and what they don't eat. So the people who don't eat gluten are really going against the grain.
Oh. Hey, I got this one from a fourth grader. What's black and white and goes round and round? A penguin in a revolving door.
I was trying to prep myself on that one. Oh, goodness gracious. What are we doing? Hey, you know what they say about cliffhangers?
Know what? my sound pad is so slow today.
Some of you are just getting that one.
Oh
goodness gracious.
Yeah.
These are so bad.
This is. I don't know where we're getting this stuff from.
Hey, you got any more?
Yeah. You just really have to hand it to short people. Mostly because they can't reach it on their own.
So when does a joke become a bad dad joke?
I don't know when.
When it becomes apparent.
This is so slow. I'm going to have to anticipate a little bit.
So the funny part about that is you're using a brand new iPad.
I know.
You know, you probably should look into these Mac products. Maybe they're not quite as... If there's a robbery at a Mac store, does that make you an eyewitness?
Oh, that's so bad. All right, dude. Your jokes are killing me. So if I'm ever on life...
Killing me softly.
Your jokes are so bad that if I'm ever on life support, just pull the plug, wait 10 seconds, and then plug me back in. Maybe that'll reset me.
Only if you own a Mac.
This is so bad. You want to get out of here?
Let's do this.
A word from the Bible.
Maybe not that one.
Warning. Dumb dad jokes ahead.
No! No!
I wonder if you have a word later on.
I kind of feel like our show right now is the way people kind of feel like the current scenario of the political kind of climate is right now. I have no clue what's going on. No, no.
I think that there are some people wondering if you mixed something else into the coffee today.
Just milk, sugar, and a little espresso. That's it.
That's no, it, no.
Oh, my goodness. Man. What are we doing here? You ready to talk about the next segment here?
I would love to talk about the next segment. Let's do it. Let's make it happen.
So last week, I referenced Daniel 2:21 in the show. And just for people to know what that verse says, it's right. I'm going to just read it out of the King James Version. It says that he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. So I reference this text specifically, he removes kings and raises them up. The question that came in listener feedback, which by the way, we really appreciate, is do you think that God is actually acting like a puppet master and determining the outcome of this election? I thought that that would be something interesting to talk about. Because there's a lot of people that probably have that same question, and may I even add fear that God is intervening in that way on these issues. What do you think?
So this is a really interesting question, and I'm gonna reference a couple of things from previous conversations, and that is that your perspective of God is greatly dependent on how closely you study Scripture. Mm-hmm. It's dependent on your experiences, how God has interacted with you. And I do think it's important that since we're talking about Daniel, we do need to keep this into the context of that situation. So my first response would be, does God interact with his people the exact same way in Daniel that he does now? Like, is it the exact same? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My argument would be no, mm-hmm. because the covenant relationship, the Old Testament relationship, dependent on very different expectations of Israel and their role as a nation in kind of the plan at that point.
Yeah.
And so God was very, very direct in how he dealt with the situation.
Yeah.
Post-Christ's death, you know, ascension, all of that stuff, Holy Spirit is given to the apostles, and now we've got the spread of Christianity. Which is where we're at, right? We're actually, from that point on, we're in end times.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
Because Christ could come imminently, even from then on. So, does God interact the same way? I don't see him interacting with us the same way he did in the Old Testament.
Right.
And so, with that kind of lens, I would say, you know, let's be careful. I don't think God is a puppet. Okay,
or a puppet master.
A puppet master. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wouldn't be a puppet.
He would
not
be
sure
puppet.
Who would be moving him. Okay, I appreciate that. Always keeping me on track, man. Always keeping me on track.
I try, man. I try.
So you know, we don't have kings.
Yeah.
Now, we have a democracy. Mm. It was very different back then. So I don't see God interacting in the same regard. Having said that. Mm-hmm. I do believe he is involved.
Yes,
that absolutely. I do believe.
Well, so you bring up an interesting way of looking at this, and I wholeheartedly agree with what you said, but I want to go a step further and maybe even simplify it just a little bit. You talked about the covenant and some of these Old Testament, New Testament philosophies. I agree with everything you said. Let me simplify it. I believe that God meets people where they are. Really simple, down-to-earth point of view, God meets you where you are. For example, the woman that was caught in sin, mm-hmm. she's literally pulled out of bed, if you will, with the person that she's fornicating with, and she's laid at Jesus' feet, and they said, hey, well, we need to stone this woman. She mm-hmm. was caught in the act mm-hmm. of adultery. And Jesus gives probably the best answer a person could give. Well, whichever of you is without sin, you get to cast the first stone, which he already knew. He was the only one mm-hmm. licensed to throw the stone. When I say Jesus meets people where they are, what I see is in the story is the woman is thrown at his feet and Jesus bends down and writes in the dirt. Remember that? And then when everybody leaves, the Bible doesn't say he gets back up. The Bible says he turns his attention to the woman, which I just kind of envision him still squatting down, mm-hmm. kneeling down, whatever he did to get down to her level. And he says to her, where are those that condemned you? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus reached for her where she was and put her on a new path to a better life. So when you go to Daniel, God is directed this dream about this big statue, head of gold, chest and arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass, feet, legs of iron, feet of part iron and clay. And Nebuchadnezzar can't figure out what's going on. When I say that God meets people where they are, when you read this story in context, you realize that Nebuchadnezzar is a king who follows many false gods. And he is in a foreign country to Israel. And so Daniel is explaining to him the ways and the will of God. And he's trying to help Nebuchadnezzar understand that Nebuchadnezzar isn't the one who determines the outcomes. God does. Hmm. And what's really fascinating is when God meets people where they are, if you study Babylonian history, you discover that Nebuchadnezzar was renowned for some of his things. One of the ancient wonders of the world was the Hanging Gardens. One of the other things, though, was that he had a ziggurat made. A ziggurat was a pyramid-like structure that they used for worship in the ancient Chaldean lands. And when you study this out, you'll discover, and I believe it was Herodotus that said when he walked into Babylon in the first century, he noticed that the top part of the ziggurat was made of gold, the first square on the top of the ziggurat, and the next one was silver, and the next one was orange like bronze, and the third one was blue like iron. Well, that automatically conjures up reflection of what Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream.
Right.
And how can you not say, okay, if this dream came from God, is God not trying to tie something yep. here to worship and to God? And the fact that this is coming from a bigger power than the Babylonian gods really gets Nebuchadnezzar's attention. So God meets people where they are. What is he trying to tell Nebuchadnezzar? I'm the one who's in charge. Things may be happening on earth,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to overrule when necessary. So that gets us into a really questionable spot here. Is God overruling and he's going to put Trump in instead of Biden or vice versa? I don't know that that's the case. I think that God still allows for human will to play out and then works within that context to see his own plan advanced. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, we as humans are so focused on the detail of what we're going through right now.
Right.
And one of the things that has fascinated me recently is with our intense desire to figure out how we fit in the middle of everything.
Right.
So it's really easy for us to think, well, it's the end of the world right now because this, and it feels like it is, and I'm at the center. It's me at the center of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you go to Revelation 7, Revelation 7, 1, we see there's a bigger picture going on. It says, after this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. And this is what I want people to be thinking about, holding back the four winds of the earth. So my point in telling you this and bringing this up is God involved? Well, he absolutely is involved. There is a battle, and God is holding back things from happening, okay? Mm-hmm. which means he is involved. There is a time when Christ will come, when it's the right time. He knows, right? Mm-hmm. He knows when that time period is. Does he get directly involved with the exact actions and who gets elected and who doesn't and how it happens? I don't think that that's necessarily the case. I think there's a bigger picture, but yet we want to so badly put ourselves at the center of it and kind of make ourselves kind of involved directly in the situation. The other thing I would say is just go back to Daniel 2, and again, for context, I think this is the more important kind of situation of Daniel 2. If you look at what's going on, the king's edict that was given had to be obeyed. So we got Arioch, you know, which was the captain of the king's guard, right? And the chief executioner. He sets out to kind of round up these mm-hmm. wise men. Because this gets into, and what my point in talking about this is that the evil one, you know, who was involved in this action, the king's edict? Mm-hmm. Well, we know that God wasn't involved in killing or trying to kill anyways these wise men, right? Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. God doesn't work that way. So the evil one is willing to sacrifice his own fault, his own prophets. He's willing to.
Yes.
On the flip side, we see how the Lord takes care of his people. And that, I think, is more important for us to think about where we're at now, right? Mm-hmm. We could see some heads spinning right now with our current environment. We can see the devil at work.
Yeah.
We can see God at work.
Yeah.
The point that I want the listener to remember is that God takes care of his faithful people.
Yes.
Even if it doesn't seem like it, because there's plenty of stories in Scripture where it didn't seem like it, mm-hmm. but in the end, God takes care of his people.
Absolutely.
And that's what I want in today's environment as it relates to this situation. That's what I want to remember.
We shouldn't get so caught up trying to determine what God is or isn't going to do mm-hmm. or how God works or doesn't work. God has ways of dealing with and providing for his people. You know, the Bible even says that that we can't even begin to comprehend, you know, mm-hmm. the ways of God. But by that same token, we also know that God is intimately interested in each one of us, because the Bible says that he has actually numbered the very hairs on our heads, and that he has actually takes notice even when a little bird might fall out of a tree and so forth. So we can take comfort in knowing that regardless of what happens in the political world, God is intimately interested in what happens to you and I in our individual world, and he's going to provide and take care of us.
Amen.
A word from the Bible.
In the beginning was the Word.
It's for real this time.
It's for real. It's the Word. And I want to talk about what we just ended on and the fact that God wants to know us. I want to focus on the word know. And if we look at, especially zeroing in on how this word is used in the book of John, we find it very interesting. The book uses actually this word know, which is gnosko, 141 times. What does gnosko mean? To know, to understand, to perceive. What I found really interesting in pursuing this word and understanding this word, did you like how I said that? Understanding, the word understand. To know.
Well done.
Yes. Those are puns. Catch them, guys. You know, what does it mean to know the Father? What does it mean to know? Like I said, this word's used 141 times in the Gospel of John. But what I want to point out is there's four different levels of this understanding of know, gnosko, different levels of knowing God. The lowest level is knowing facts, is really understanding the facts behind something. Sometimes the facts, though, if you know the facts and you don't know the truth behind it, you're still lost, right? You still don't understand what's going on, which is that second level. Okay, you got to understand truth behind the facts. That's still the same word, gnosko. Okay, it's just a different sense.
Yeah.
Okay, This third level introduces kind of the relationship. And so to know means to believe in a person and become related to them. This is where we get the idea of having an intimate relationship. Genesis 4:1 talks about Adam and Eve knew each other. Okay, there's a different level of understanding. We get to the fourth level, which is the one I want to focus on as we end this segment. The fourth level is to have a deeper relationship with a person, a deeper communion. And when we look at places like Philippians 3:10, that I may know him, it's that deep communion, gnosko. It's the highest level that John uses in his gospel to commune with God. And so my question for the audience is, do you know God? What level do you know him at? Because he desires to know us at the highest level, to commune with us. And that's what I would challenge the listener in today's Word of the Day.
A word from the Bible.
In the beginning was the Word.
Does that mean I get the last word?
I'm gonna give it to you this
You're
time.
You're gonna give it to me this time? Well, appreciate that, because we're both tired, and dude, I've actually finished.
I'm still waiting for this last sip, man.
I have like a drop, so I'm gonna make this last word really good. Andy Stanley is a pastor of a megachurch in Atlanta, Georgia, and he asked this question. He says, why would we as followers of an eternal king allow ourselves to be divided by temporary political systems, leaders, or platforms? I think that's an amazing question that every Christian should take seriously. Whether you're Republican or Democrat, Libertarian, or one of the other minor parties of the United States. And I want to, in light of the conversation that we've just had, I'd like to remind everyone, including you and me, that our political candidates may or may not win the election. But if they do win, it's because that's who was voted by the people of this country. The American citizens voted in mass numbers this time. There can be very little argument about stealing the election or this or that. I mean, they're going to try, but the bottom line is people came out and they spoke, and what we have is a deeply divided politically nation. I think, though, as I reflect on this, about the words of Jesus in John chapter 17 and verse 11, he was getting ready to have his life brought to an end. He's giving his disciples the last information that they needed before his ministry would be ending. And he has this prayer, and he says, and he's praying to his Father, and he says, now I am no longer in the world, but these are, he's talking about his disciples, these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep them through your name, those whom you have given to me, that they may be one as we are, that they may be one. Jesus' last prayer in the context of ministry, now he's going to pray again in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's going to pray again even on the cross. But in the context of ministry, he's praying for you and me, and he's praying that you and I would be one, even as he and the Father are one. And that just strikes a chord with me, that despite all the things that are going on in this nation, despite all the things that are happening politically, I've got some really good friends who call themselves Democrats, and I've got some very good friends who call themselves Republicans. And they're very adamant in their posts on Facebook and social media. I don't see them as Democrats, and I don't see them as Republicans. I see them as friends. And I would hope that through the rest of this election cycle, while we're, even as you and I are recording, we don't know the outcome. Maybe by the time this thing drops in the morning, we might know something. I doubt it. But regardless of where you're at, I hope and I pray that you will see through the nonsense of the media and the threat of civil war and all of these people that are needing to board up their things. Let's, as Christians, be bigger than that. Let's be Christ-like. Let's pray for unity, and let's demonstrate unity. Democrat, Republican, we're citizens of the Most High God. That's how we're really going to see the kingdom of God come to fruition. not only in the hearts of men, but literally Jesus will be able to come when we're more like him.
Ben, I appreciate that. I believe that that ends our show. We are grateful for the audience. We're grateful for those of you that have liked it, that have shared it. Thank you for hanging with us for the last 20, 30 minutes. We appreciate your time today, and we would love to have you subscribe so you can get notifications so that we know that you like us.
We like that. It's really simple to subscribe on our Facebook. Yeah. It's really simple to subscribe on Apple or on Podbean or YouTube. That's our new platform. I really like the YouTube one.
I absolutely love it.
It's a lot of fun.
I appreciate
to watch.
All your hard work on that, man.
Oh, I appreciate that you let us do it.
Well,
I appreciate that you do it with me. It's a lot of fun.
It's hard thinking for me.
It's a lot of work.
It's tough.
You know, I really do appreciate the feedback. I'm glad you said that. If our listeners, when they call us and they say, "Hey, appreciated this," or "I got that question," or this, it gives us something to think about, and hopefully we're getting better as we go along.
Yeah, so if you've got any items that you want us to talk about, please shoot us an email. You know how to get a hold of us. We are the Thinking Cup Podcast, and we are super excited to continue to have these discussions with each of you.
I just finished my last drop. I'm out.
Here's what I know. I know it's empty.
It's empty.
Facts.
But,
truth.
But because Christ filled me, I'm not empty. See what I did there?
Yeah. He's communing with us, man.
Hey, we'll see y'all next time. Nice headdress.
Here's what I know.
Actually, I really liked that conversation. That was really...
Yeah, it was good.
I thought that was really good. I don't know why this was so slow, except that I need to... Oh, I didn't even get to hear it. I need to take out maybe... It's got a little bit longer play, and I need it to be instantaneous, so I'll just have to edit that after the fact.
Well, they're all still recording.
Hey, I hope we've got something there.
So... I hope that they're all still good to go.